1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 16. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Sister Ashley. God is good. And all the time? As usual. Please do me a favor. Turn to the person next to you, give your best smile, and say, God is good all the time. Don't forget your best smile, okay? Yeah. First of all, I would like to express our deepest condolences, you know, my family and myself to Pastor Ming Wong and the family of his sister, Manling, for the passing away of her. We pray that the Lord will continue to comfort you and give you strength in this time of loss. And we believe that she is in the better place right now. If you believe, say amen. She is with the Lord, she is with Jesus Christ, no longer suffering, no longer have to have the pain, but she is well in the presence of God. Now, many people ask, what is the will of God for me? As a pastor, many people come approach me and say, Pastor, could you please pray for me? What is the will of God for me? Maybe one of you in this room right now is questioning, what should I do? I have these choices of options. What should I do? What is the will of God for me to do, to choose? Now, the Bible tells us many things about the will of God. And if you want to list them all, it takes a long, 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 long time to do that. And you might not be able to know every one of them. You might be able to list them, but you might not be able to memorize all of them. But I'm so glad the Bible teaches us about the principle of knowing God's will in our life and experiencing God's will in our life. And the principle is only three. And I like to share, you know, when I preach, I like to share three-point sermon because it's easy to remember. You don't have to, you know, memorize it too much. You know, 3 points is very easy. So what we just heard when Sister Ashley was reading the Word of God, I want you to turn and look at it. You can also look, you know, if it's there. But if you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18, I'm going to read. This is from, you know, New International Version. Rejoice always. And then pray continually. And then verse 18 said, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to do me a favor again. You know, when we were in Sunday school, we used to do Bible memory verse. You know, we read verses. This is very short. And I don't even want you to read all of them, but just this 3 point, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Are you ready to do it together with me? Okay, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. 1, 2, 3. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, that's it. You don't have to read all of through. But I want you to remember this. Why? Because if you read the next statement, for this is what? God's will for you and me, of course, in Christ Jesus. Now, again, many people ask question, what is God's will for me? If you just do these three things, you will be in the will of God. You will do the will of God. Doesn't matter what happened in your life. If you just remember these three things, what are those? 1, 2, 3. Now, I believe as believers, we want to do God's will. Jesus told us and teaches us about, you know, how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Many times we pray this prayer. Maybe we memorize it already. But my question is, do you know God's will for you? This is God's will for you. So when you say thy will be done, you have to check or introspect yourself. Ask yourself, am I rejoicing right now? When I say thy will be done, am I rejoicing right now? When you say thy will be done, you ask yourself, am I prayerful right now? When you say thy will be done, you ask yourself, am I thankful at this moment? If you do these three things, you are doing God's will in your life. And again, doesn't matter what circumstances, doesn't matter what kind of choices you have to make. If these three points, three things, you remember and always double check once in a while, over and over again, am I rejoicing? Could you please close your eyes at the moment and introspect yourself, check inside your heart and ask yourself and check it, feel it. Am I rejoicing right now? Am I prayerful right now? Am I thankful? And all these three have to be there, not only one or two. No, these three altogether. Some people, they are prayerful. They've been praying for all time, but they are not rejoicing. Why? Because their prayer has not been answered yet. Or the prayer had been answered, but the answer is no. You know, when we pray, we have three answers, right? Yes, no, or wait. When the answer is yes, yes, I'm rejoicing. Yes, I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord. I'm so happy. I'm so glad. But what about the answer is no? Are you going to still be rejoicing? Or are you going to say, why are you, Lord? I follow you. I minister unto you. I do everything that I could do faithfully. But why no? Now, when we do that, we are not doing God's will. God's will is still, even when God said no, we still rejoice. And the reason we rejoice, because we believe. You know, I believe you know this statement that Paul made. For I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able. Right? To do everything until his day. Until the day. He is able. That's why I rejoice, Paul said. And we know this. Can I play? Okay. I have to ask permission first.
You know this song, I believe. Yes, this song.
You got it. But always. Doesn't matter what the answer is. The Bible said, rejoice in the Lord always. And don't you know that it was in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul wrote this statement. Did you know? When he wrote this statement, he was in jail. In prison. How extraordinary that was, because he was in prison. He didn't have any reason to say rejoice. Can you rejoice in prison? And to tell you the truth, the prison that Paul was in was not the same with the prison that you know nowadays in detention center. Because we have human rights, you know, act and everything. You have to have certain measurement. You know, you have to give the inmate this treatment, exercise, food, rest, everything. Sometimes people say, it's better for me to live in prison because I get taken care of better than if I'm outside. Uh-oh. But Paul, when he was in prison, the prison was very small. It's like a dungeon. He didn't even have enough space to stand up. No. And he was chained. He didn't have any reason to rejoice. But he wrote this, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he emphasized it. And again, I say, rejoice. My question to you, again, if you would like to do God's will in your life, if you want to do God's will in your life, can I hear your saying, amen. Hallelujah. God is pleased to hear that. Yes, Lord, I want to do God's will. I want you to really ask yourself right now, am I rejoicing? Because if you're not rejoicing in your situation always, then you're not doing God's will. Now, I believe the Bible didn't mean or doesn't mean that we ignore our emotional life. We have emotion in our life. And the Bible doesn't say we have to ignore it. Of course. It's okay sometimes to be sad. It's okay sometimes to cry. Jesus wept when he saw Lazarus and he heard Lazarus was dead. He wept. And that was the shortest verse in the Bible, by the way. John 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. It's okay to cry. It's okay, you know, to feel sad. It's okay sometimes even if you feel angry, if it's in the right moment and the right measurement for sure, not overreacting. It's okay to have emotion in our life. And that's good. That's healthy. But you should not stay in that emotion all the time. What you stay in is this. Rejoice always. Sometimes you cry. It's okay. But don't cry all the day long. Don't cry all night long. Don't cry all week long. Don't cry all month long. Don't cry all year long. Sometimes you go through, you know, bad situation in your life, but you have to remind yourself, I want to do God's will in my life. And God's will in my life is rejoice always. If you believe, say amen. Can you do me a favor? And I always ask you to smile to the person next to you, best smile. Did you know why? Because that's God's will in your life. Do me one more time. Do me a favor one more time. Look to the person next to you. Give your best smile. And when you do it right now, you're not just doing it because Pastor Sudi asked you to do so, but you're doing it because that's God's will in your life. Rejoice. Now let me go to the second point because of the time. What is the second point? Pray continually. When you hear the word pray continually, it means you may pray in the past, but you may be stopping doing that already. You're not doing it. You cease from praying. Why? And again, I have touched this about this before. Maybe when you pray, the answer is no. And sometimes when you get the answer no, it's not easy, you know. You get disappointed. You get mad at the Lord. Why bother praying? He doesn't answer anyway. You know, I've been praying for so long, for years, but the answer is finally no. And you stop praying. Or you stop praying not because of no, but because of the length of the wait. God said, wait. It's not time yet. And you're tired of waiting. Waiting, sometimes people say waiting is boring. You don't want to wait for too long. And because of that, you stop praying. Now, in Luke chapter 18, you will find the parable that Jesus teaches in the Bible about a widow. who approach a judge. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus said, Jesus teach this parable so that we will pray continually. Don't stop praying. You know, again, please double check in your life right now. If you want to do God's will in your life, the second point is this. Am I still praying? Am I still bringing things that I used to bring before God's throne of grace? I used to pray for my family, for their salvation. I used to pray for my sister, for my brother, for my mother, for my father, for my children, for my husband, for my wife. I used to pray for my friend. Am I still praying for them? And again, when we say pray, we don't just pray for ourselves. Sometimes we just pray for our own need, and we don't pray for other people. No, no. When we say pray, we need to pray also for other people. We need to intercede for their behalf. That's what it means to pray. And this is the call for all believers. For all believers, not just pastors or intercessors. No, for all believers, because this is God's will for you and me in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? If you believe, say amen. If you are in Christ Jesus, this is God's will for you. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Now, again, because of the time, let me go to the third point. What is the third point? Give thanks when it's okay. Give thanks when everything is fine. Give thanks in all circumstances. Doesn't matter whether it's good or bad, or in the middle or in between, we give thanks. Many examples in the Bible when Jesus was teaching, you know, the disciples were going with him, following him, and the crowd, many of them, thousands of them, 5,000 men plus women plus children. So if we count one woman, one children together with one man, it's going to be 15,000 people walking, following Jesus. And Jesus saw them. They are hungry and tired. And he told his disciples, you got to feed them. And what the disciples said, teacher, how could we feed them? 300 denarii will not be enough to buy the bread. No. But Jesus asked them, what do you have? And they check around. And if you read from the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you combine it together, you'll find that they would find 5 loaves and 2 fish brought by a little young boy. When Jesus received it, did he say 5 loaves, 2 fish for 5,000 men plus women plus children? Are you kidding me? Did he say that? No. What he did, he received it. And what did he do? He gave thanks. Little things plus thanksgiving is more than enough. Plus leftover, 12 basketful. That's why we need to give thanks. Sometimes we complain. I don't have enough income. Of that, you didn't give me that. What I want. My friend got it. I don't get it. Woo-hoo. What is the opposite of giving thanks? Complaining. Grumbling. Now double check yourself right now. Did I complain this morning? Am I complaining too much lately? Am I thankful for whatever God has given me? And again, a reminder, this is God's will for you and me. If you believe, say amen. God's will for you and me. When you give thanks, miracle may happen. Because when you give thanks, you are saying, Lord, you are good. I appreciate your blessing me. And as our father, you know, if you are a parent, when your children appreciate what you do for them, you are more than happy and you will do more for those children. But when your children are not appreciative, you've done your best for them and they don't even look at it. They just go somewhere else without even touching it. You feel so sad. That's why we need to give thanks to the Lord, because whatever you have, it's a blessing from the Lord. If you believe, say amen. And you have to have this mentality. Even if small, even if it's biological thinking, not enough. But when I give thanks and surrender it to the Lord, it will be more than enough. Even it will have left over for me. If you believe, say amen. And the last one, when you give thanks to the Lord, actually, you are saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm so proud that I'm your child. I'm so proud that you are my Father. So give thanks to the Lord. Now, to close, I would like you to think about this. Three things. Right now, at this very moment, I'm going to play a song to close this. And the song I believe all of you will know. But as I play, or maybe I will sing, I don't know. But as I play, I want you to have a moment of pause. And at that time, you will think about your situation right now. And I want you to ask questions. Am I rejoicing? If you're not, count the blessings that God has given you. Think about it. Many things that you can be rejoicing about. And if you are now in a situation when there is no reason for you to rejoice, I would like to remind you, there is a Bible verse that says, I bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. What it means is this. Why the Bible says it's sacrifice of praise? The word sacrifice means something that you do not easily. Something that you do that will make effort for that to do it. Sacrifice of praise means something that you do to the Lord, for the Lord, by saying, Lord, I praise you, I worship you, even though you are in a bad situation, even though your condition, your circumstances are not promising, but you still say, I praise you, Lord. That is sacrifice. But when everything is okay, everything is fine, there's nothing to sacrifice to say, praise you, Lord, then it's not a sacrifice of praise. It's just praise. But when it needs you to sacrifice your feeling and say, Lord, I praise you, doesn't matter what happened, that is sacrifice of praise. So please take a moment to introspect yourself as I play. And after that, I would like to give the pulpit to whoever is going to take it after me. God bless you.